What up, world? Welcome to another episode of Wrestling Life. As you know, I am the host, Brian Janu, and like always on all podcast platforms everywhere, Brian Janu Show. Social media platforms, Instagram Threads, Brian Janu. On Facebook, The Brian Janu Show, and of course, TikTok. Brandon Janu Show. But really, where you can go is just my YouTube channel. This is Brandon Janu Show. Go subscribe, comment. I do comment back. Helps with the algorithms and everything. So go follow me on social media platforms and go subscribe to my YouTube channel. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Let's get into it. Like I said, it's Wrestling Life. I will be doing one final point of view, a random shit wrestling life where I'm gonna talk about everything. AEW had Full Gear this past weekend. I will be talking about Survivor Series that's happening this Saturday. Talk about Survivor Series, how I feel about it, do some predictions. So stay tuned for that. That's coming later on this week. Stay tuned for that. But let's get into it, man. All right. Speaking of Survivor Series, War Games is this upcoming Saturday, and of course, with War Games, I kind of do this tradition. Last year it was Survivor Series. It was my favorite, my top 10 Survivor Series matches, and now it's my favorite top 10 Survivor Series War Games match. Well, my favorite War Games matches since War Games has been moved to WWE. So here are my top 10 War Games matches in WWE. So let's get into it. Y'all already know I do it 10 to 1. Let's get into it. At number 10, starting off the list, is the second Women's War Games match in NXT. This happened during the pandemic. So, yeah. In this match, you had now Io Shirai, which is now known as Io Sky. You had Rhea Ripley, Ember Moon, and I want to say who else was in that damn team? I know the other four women was Dakota Kai, Candice LeRae, and I want to say Toni Storm. I forgot the other woman that was on Rhea, Io, and Ember Moon's team. Oh, Shotzi. That's who was on her team. Shotzi, Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai, known as Io Sky now. Yeah, that was the team. Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, Raquel Rodriguez, Raquel Gonzalez at the time. And Toni Storm. That was the four women in that match. Ember Moon, who is Athena in Ring of Honor right now, killing it. So, really cool match, man. It was really good. People forget that Raquel actually, I think, pinned Io, who I think at the time was the NXT champion, the NXT Women's Champion, which will go on to Raquel would actually win the NXT Women's Championship from Io Sky. So, yeah, so this match actually led to a lot of crazy shit going on at that time in NXT. But the match all in all was really good. Really good match, man. Really good match. Number nine is the last Undisputed Era War Games match in NXT. War Games was literally created to pretty much hurt the Undisputed Era. Now you see them in AEW as the Undisputed Kingdom. That's not really the Undisputed Era, but they got still three of the four members of the Undisputed Era still, in AEW. But The Undisputed Era's last War Games match was also on that particular War Games. And they fought, ended up fighting Pat McAfee. Yeah, that was Pat McAfee's what, first, second real WWE match, like ever. I think his first one was against Adam Cole, and then the second one was that one, the War Games match. And on his team was Pete Dunne. And I forgot their names. Larry Mark Ollie Ollie Marketing, some shit like that. Ollie Marketing and some, I forgot the other dude's name. Former NXT Tag Team Champions. So yeah, but Undisputed Era with Adam Cole, Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish, that was a different era of the NXT, man. If you didn't grow up in that era with that NXT, I don't know what to tell you, man. Theme song is still the hardest theme song on the planet. Theme song is still the hardest theme song on the planet. I was listening to that shit a couple like earlier this week when I was writing this list down. Man, that shit was legendary. I was like, oh shit, that shit fire. But yeah, man, the last Undisputed Era War Games match was fire. Number eight. I take you back to last year's War Games match, and that is Team Judgment Day versus Team Cody Rhodes. Now you probably think, why is this shit so goddamn low? Because I think other War Games matches were better. I think the crowd was just waiting for Randy Orton, and it kind of killed the main event a little bit. It really did. Not saying it was a total dud, no, but I think a lot of people were just so ready to see Randy Orton that it kind of took the air out the actual match for a really good chunk of the match, which is why I like the fact that they didn't do that shit again this year, and they just announced that it's CM Punk. Thank the fucking God, because they cannot do that shit for two consecutive years. And I think that they've also seen it happen already this year play out, where a main event went on and you kept waiting for something to actually happen in the main event, which kind of killed the main event. SummerSlam 2024, Cody and Solo. We all knew Roman was coming back, but can we speed the fucking process up? Same thing with like the blood in the main event. We were like, okay, The Rock's coming out. When? But then Jimmy copped up, and we're like, oh, and then The Rock came out at the end. But the anticipation of Randy Orton, I think, really derailed this match, and it kind of really hurt, you know, this match. And yeah, it kind of, I felt like it kind of derailed this match a little bit. It kind of hurt this match a little bit. And so many people were just waiting for Randy, and it just never materialized. And of course, the ending of the match was always, I mean, clearly the ending of the entire night is going to go down in history of probably the greatest ending of all time, which is, and this is another thing I hate when people say you can never bring two people back at the same time. That's bullshit. You definitely can. Randy Orton came back last year at Survivor Series. It didn't get drowned out after CM Punk popped up. It was like, no, Randy's back. Holy shit, CM Punk's now back. What the fuck is this? It didn't get drowned out. Same thing with Jimmy. Jimmy popped up at the Blood pay-per-view, helped Roman and Cody win. And then The Rock popped up. It was just like, oh shit, that's what's up. I don't understand that narrative that you can't have returning people at the same time. That's bullshit. Now, some of them suck. If they're not on the same playing field, I'm not saying Jimmy and The Rock are on the same fucking playing field, but compared to what they mean to the story, they're kind of on the same fucking playing field. And that's the thing. Cody, Randy is a legend. CM Punk ain't been in WWE in a decade. You can change that. So I think that was the thing about that. So yeah, the match itself was cool. It was cool. It wasn't bad. It was a cool match. But I feel like it kind of got killed a lot because one, people was ready to see Randy Orton. And two, there was this maybe CM Punk pops up. Maybe CM Punk comes back to WWE. And that also kind of just like took the air out the balloon of the match. So it was just like you're waiting for two returns. One, we do know it's coming. The other one, we don't. That's kind of where the situation kind of got interesting. Number seven. And that is the second War Games match in NXT history. No. I'm joking. I'm joking. Hold on. That is actually. No, number seven is. Second War Games match in NXT history. Yeah, I'm not tripping. How am I doing? The second War Games match in NXT history. In this match, you had, of course, again, the Undisputed Era. All four members at this time. This was officially the first time all four members actually competed in NXT. In a match, Bobby Fish had knee injuries. Bobby Fish was plagued by knee injuries the entire time he was in WWE. But Bobby Fish, Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, and Adam Cole competing in a War Games match. This time, the first time in a 8-on-8, 4-on-4 War Games. Undisputed Era versus Ricochet, Pete Dunne, and the War Raiders. Yeah, this War Games was different. This War Games was different. Incredible fucking match. We had Ricochet fucking do his 450 fucking flip off the fucking cage and connecting on them boys. Like, it was like, what the fuck is this? It was legendary, man. This match was incredible. War Raiders, as you see now in WWE, they're trying to get them back to where they were in NXT. Hopefully, Triple H gets them back to where they were in NXT because, man, them dudes were fucking monsters in NXT. If you never got a chance to really see the War Raiders in NXT, you would never understand. You would never really understand, man. Number six. The man returns back to black and gold. You already know, and that is Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens competed in a War Games match. It just so happened to compete in NXT's War Games match. This was around the time with Survivor Series. They did this one time only Survivor Series where Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT. Triple H and Shawn Michaels led NXT to take out various WWE superstars throughout this time. One person they took out was Kevin Owens. Who took him out? The Undisputed Era. So, of course, when War Games comes up, it's Tommaso Ciampa, it's Keith Lee, is Dijakovic, Donovan Dijakovic, and they need a fourth member to go up against the Undisputed Era. What did I just say? They took Kevin Owens out that Monday night. Didn't think it was gonna happen, and then Kevin Owens' music, they think it's like, oh, it's just gonna be 3-on-4. They think gonna beat that ass and they got them all in the one ring, and everybody's down, and then Kevin Owens' music just hits, and you can literally see in Adam Cole's eyes, he's like, oh shit, Adam Cole's like, oh shit, you have never heard a building just lose it like that. That shit was legendary, man. Next C match was fire, man. That whole match was fire. And then, of course, the ending of the goddamn match, Tommaso Ciampa has Adam Cole and kind of like a, what's the fucking Sheamus move? The fucking white noise. And he jumps off the fucking cage. Top of the fucking cage. Through like two, three tables, four tables, and chucks him and Adam Cole through a fucking four tables, and that's the end of the War Games match. He pins him, wins the War Games match. This shit is fucking phenomenal, man. It's one of the best War Games matches in NXT, man. Definitely, man. Because of just the surprise, the you don't know what's gonna happen. And at this time, the Undisputed Era was dripped in gold. I mean, they had the NXT. Adam Cole was the NXT champion. Roderick Strong was the North American. And you had Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, who were the tag team champions. They were the bloodline before the bloodline. Let's just get that out the way. They were the bloodline before the bloodline. Had nothing but gold all wrapped around them. That was what that was. So yeah. So before I do my top five, let's get into a recap. Number 10, the second women's War Games match in NXT. Number 9, the last Undisputed Era War Games match in NXT. Number 8, Team Judgment Day versus Team Cody Rhodes, last year's main event of Survivor Series War Games. Number 7, the second War Games match in NXT history. And number 6, Kevin Owens returns to NXT for War Games. Let's get into it, man. Start off the top five. Let's get into No, number 5. That's the first War Games match ever in NXT history. Undisputed Era versus Sanity. People forget what Sanity was. Sanity was a big group in NXT, led by Eric Young, Killian Dane, and Alexander Wolf. Sanity was the shit. And Nikki Cross was also in Sanity. It's crazy to think that none of them are in WWE except Nikki Cross now. None of them are in NXT, in the WWE, except Nikki Cross. And she's married to Killian Dane, which is the craziest shit. So, and then of course the third, and this was 3 versus 3 versus 3. So Undisputed Era, Adam, and this is the beginning of Undisputed Era when they first got to NXT. They took out everybody and created enemies immediately. They took out Roderick Strong. They took out the Authors of Pain. They took out Sanity. They went after everybody. And the third team, of course, was Roderick Strong and the Authors of Pain. Legendary NXT, first ever NXT War Games match. It was fire. Still one of the best to start off a War Games. If this was the first ever War Games and you played it for somebody and showed them this match, they would immediately know, damn, I missed this shit. Black and gold NXT was fucking different. Fucking different. And that was one of the examples. That first NXT War Games match, and you have literally, carnage, just fucking nuts. It just, the shit was carnage, bro. It was just fucking crazy. I just watched that match, rewatched that match, because, of course, I'm not just watching the match just to see who should make the list. I'm also watching where the fuck I should place these orders. This is perfect. Like, this is the perfect first ever War Games match. The fucking destruction, just the craziness. The rules were very fucking simple. It was just a really great War Games match, man. And Black and Gold NXT was just fucking different. It's fucking different. It's fucking different. Number 4 is when NXT finally went to the main roster. And that is the first women's War Games match in the WWE. And that is Survivor Series 2022. Team Damage Control versus Team Bianca. On Team Damage Control was Bayley, Dakota Kai, Io Sky, Nikki Cross, and Rhea Ripley. And the other five was Bianca, Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, that shit sounds nuts off fucking ready, Mia Yim, Meechan, and Becky Lynch. Like I said, that shit sounds nuts off fucking ready. That shit was great. It culminated at War Games after, of course, it culminated at War Games after, of course, Damage Control made their return and debut at SummerSlam of 2022 and immediately went into a rivalry with Bianca Belair. And they took out Becky Lynch. I was actually at the first Raw of Damage Control, which is the craziest shit. I actually was at that Monday Night Raw after SummerSlam. Like that SummerSlam, I was at that Monday Night Raw. And I saw Damage Control take out Becky Lynch. I saw Damage Control, chaos. Like it was the craziest shit. It was so much fun. And that might have been my first Monday Night Raw I think I went to. That might have been my first Monday Night Raw I actually went to. Damn, that's crazy. That might have been my first Monday Night Raw I think I actually went to. I've been to a couple since then, but I think that might have been my first Monday Night Raw, first WWE experience that I've been to in some years. So, yeah, that was crazy. So, damn, yeah, that was. Holy shit. That was actually my first Monday Night Raw. I had been, the first WWE event I had been in some years. Like, since, like, my 7th birthday. So, to see how that all played. So, I kind of am maybe a little bit biased as this. I don't know who I am. I don't think I am. But, yeah, that's kind of crazy. I didn't even think about it in that sense. But it actually was that way. And I remember Becky getting attacked. And then I remember at the end of the night, Alexa Bliss and Asuka came out to help Bianca. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that shit was crazy. That was a crazy, crazy, crazy thing. But, yeah. So the first ever women's War Games match in WWE on Survivor Series and a major PLE event. Team Damage Control versus Team Bianca. That's at number four. And number three. Some people say the sequels are never better than the original. I disagree, because the sequel is way better than the original. This one was way better. Now, the name value in the first one is fucking legendary. Bianca, Becky, Rhea, Damage Control, Bayley, Dakota, Alexa Bliss, Asuka. You can't beat that. That's a different fucking level of nuts. That's a different level of nuts. Great match. Last year, though. Last year's Women's War Games match was fire, though. And I cannot sit here. The Women's War Games match last year was way better than the men's. I would easily tell you that. It was way better. Way fucking better. I can't remember if they had a five in that one. I think they did. I can't remember. I know it was Bianca, Shotzi, Becky, and Charlotte. I can't remember if they had five. I think they had four on four. They might have had five. I don't remember though. But I remember Damage Control being, I remember Damage Control being Becky. Damage Control was Bayley, Dakota. I remember Damage Control being Bayley, Dakota, Asuka, Bayley, Dakota, Asuka, and Io. I don't remember if they had a fifth member. I can't remember if they had a fifth fucking member. I think they did. I can't remember who. I can't remember. Y'all maybe remember, but I think it might have been 4-on-4. I can't remember the fifth fucking member for either one of those teams. I know it was Shotzi, Charlotte, Bianca, and Becky. I can't remember if they had a fifth fucking member. I really can't. But yeah. But yeah, that War Games match was fucking incredible. Fucking amazing. It was an amazing, amazing War Games match. So, yeah. And number two, we'll keep it with the women, man. That's the first women's War Games match ever in WWE. And that was at NXT 2000, and I want to say 19, because the second was in a pandemic, so it was 2019. The first women's War Games match. First women's War Games match in NXT. You gotta understand the level of craziness at this time. At this time. It didn't feel like they were just rushing War Games matches at the time for like women now, like this upcoming War Games match will be. This one was really good to see. You had what was it? Team Rhea versus Team Shayna Baszler. And on Team Shayna Baszler, you had Shayna, who was the NXT Women's Champion at the time. You had Bianca Belair, Amber Fire, who was the NXT UK champion. Her name was completely something different. Kali Ray or some shit. But she's now Amber Fire in WWE. They changed the name, completely changed the name, but Amber Fire. And then the fourth person was somebody. Fuck, who was the fourth person on that team? And it was somebody too. It was shit. I forgot what the fuck it was. But on Team Rhea Ripley was on that team. It was Io. That's who the fuck was on that team. It just fucking dinged. Io. That's who was on that team. Because Io's been in every women's War Games match since its fucking creation. And I was like, who the fuck was Io? Io's on that team. So it was Bianca. It was Amber Fire. It was Shayna Baszler and Bianca Belair on one fucking team. That shit sounds absolutely fucking crazy. It sounds fucking nuts. And on the other side was Team Rhea Ripley, Candice LeRae, who's in this year's War Games with Rhea, Dakota Kai, and Tegan Knox. Now, initially it was supposed to be Mia Yim, Meechan, but she got taken out. And the fact that Candice LeRae and Rhea won the fucking match, that shit is beyond crazy. I don't know how the fuck they still won that match. It was literally 4-on-2. Like, it was literally 4-on-fucking-2. And they won that fucking I still don't know how the fuck they won that match. That shit is crazy. Because Dakota took out Tegan Knox. She was supposed to go in the cage, and she took out Tegan Knox, actually re-injured her knee. Oh, man, that shit was fucking nuts, man. Man, that match was so fucking crazy. And Rhea's just looking at this shit like, what the fuck? Shayna's in the other cage laughing. This shit was so crazy, man. One of the best matches you will ever see, man. And then the ending of Rhea just fucking. This was the Io Sky putting the fucking trash can over her head and then jumping off the goddamn cell. Shit was crazy. This match was fucking fantastic, man. It's one of the best matches. The first ever Women's War Games match in NXT. Top tier. Legendary, man. Legendary. But at number one, and number motherfucking one, you had to know that this was gonna be number one. You had to. If you don't know anything, you knew this was gonna be number one. With a fucking bullet. And at number one, the Bloodline versus the Brawling Brutes. Possibly the greatest storytelling War Games match that they've ever done. They did a lot of good ones in NXT with the Undisputed Era. They did a lot of great ones with the women. This played into so many different storylines, man. It played in so many different storylines. Drew McIntyre. Still to until literally last year's War Games match, up until this time, he just could not get over the fact that the Bloodline would screw him over, and it created such this you know sort this egotistical son of a bitch. Like he turned back into this kind of psychopath because he couldn't get over the fact the Bloodline screwed him over. It played into even last year in War Games, like. The fact that the Bloodline got a chance to go at the Brawling Brutes, and this match was fantastic. And then, of course, like I said, the storyline itself of Sami and Kevin Owens, pretty much being dragged into this situation. It was just amazing, man. It all culminated, of course, at WrestleMania 39 with Sami and Kevin Owens teaming up again and then going after the Usos. And but it doesn't happen if this storyline, if this War Games match never ceased to exist. You don't have the ending of the Royal Rumble. You don't get Sami Zayn on trial, the trial of Sami Zayn. You don't get any of that time of the story of the Bloodline. You don't get any of it. You don't get Jay feeling conflicted that they would take out Sami. You don't get Jimmy leaving the Bloodline and then Jay joining him and then Jay just saying, you know what? Fuck this. I just rather be on my own. None of that happens if it wasn't for that fucking match. It's fucking crazy that a whole scenario like that happened just because of this one match. When Jay hugs Sammy, he finally embraces Sammy. That's, I feel like that was the moment Roman stopped trusting Sammy because it's like, something's up with this shit. I don't like this. The manipulation of Roman Reigns in this fucking the whole night, like, oh my God, Jimmy Jay starts the match. Jimmy's about to run out and go save his brother, and Roman grabbed him. And it's like, Sammy, get your ass out there, go help Jay. This whole match, man, like, oh my God, man, yeah, like, this is my favorite War Games match because of all of the fucking storylines, man. This shit was just fucking nuts. And then what it grew into, what it became. And now what it's becoming now with this year's storyline. Because, yes, it doesn't feel rushed. Yes. But it all started in 2022 at War Games. And now we're about to see it all culminate in 2024. War Games. The Bloodline, what can I say? It's the story that keeps on giving. And number one, now I gotta recap it. Number one, the Bloodline versus the Brawling Brutes, the beginning of the end of the Bloodline, pretty much. Number two, the first women's War Games match in NXT. Number three, Damage Control versus Team Bianca Part Two, War Games match. Number four, the first women's War Games match in WWE at Survivor Series between Team Damage Control and Bianca versus Team Bianca. Number five, the first War Games match in NXT, Undisputed Era versus the Authors of Pain, Roderick Strong versus Sanity. Number six, Kevin Owens returns to the NXT. Turns to NXT for War Games to team up with Tommaso Ciampa, Keith Lee, and Donovan Dijakovic versus the Undisputed Era. Number seven, the second War Games match in NXT history. All four members of the Undisputed Era versus Ricochet, Pete Dunne, and the War Raiders. Number eight, Team Judgment Day versus Team Cody at last year's War Games match. The return of the Viper and the shocking, earth-shattering moment of CM Punk returning back to WWE. Number nine, the last Undisputed Era's War Games match. And number 10, and number 10, the second women's War Games match in NXT. Lot of things are happening. A lot of things are going on. End of the year, so everything's going a little too fast and trying to slow it down. I'll be back doing Wrestling Life, like I said. Talk about AEW's Full Gear last night. Talk about the upcoming Survivor Series. Talk about why it's the right decision. Seeing Punk to be a part of it. And anything else happening in wrestling, that'll be on later on this week. And of course, Saturday, I will be back to do my Wrestling Life Survivor Series War Games 2024 review, rate and review show. So, what, three matches have already been announced. I hope they keep it as that. I can see a fourth match. I don't see why. It needs to be four matches. I'm gonna be honest. This War Games needs to be four matches. You got to realize the first War Games match is the women's, and that's gonna probably take an hour. Okay, so 7 to 8, 7 to 7:45, or I think it starts at 6. So 6 to 6:45 to close to 7 o'clock. Then you got a little bit of a break, like a 15-minute, maybe a 10-minute break somewhere in there, and then you probably put on some title match or some grudge match. I don't know if you can have a grudge match, probably a title match. I don't know. Maybe the Judgment Day versus the War Raiders, which I think they need to have that at the damn pay-per-view. If you're not gonna have the title belts at some point, defending on Raw, you probably need to have that bitch at Survivor Series. I actually think that'd be a good idea. I think to have the War Raiders versus Judgment Day at Survivor Series, that would actually make very much sense. Have it be Liv and Raquel, and then you have the Judgment Day fight right after them, and then you have Damian Priest and Gunther fight right after them. Now you keep kind of what of the, you keep kind of that storyline going, which I don't know why, but keep that storyline going. And then you go into the last War Games match, which is, and that's what, that's 6:40, so that's about 6, 7, 7, depending on how long you want to make the tag team title match, maybe 10, 15 minutes. Then you have another break, and then you have Gunther and Damian Priest, and then you have, then they have theirs, and then of course you close it out with the OG Bloodline versus the Bloodline 2.0, and then you end in the night, because I think that you need to end the pay-per-view about 9:30, 10 o'clock. No later than 10. Get us in and out. Get us in and out, man. And then we could plan for a Saturday Night Main Event. So, Wrestling Life, this Saturday will be Survivor Series. The following Saturday, which is NXT Deadline, I will be doing that rate and review show. And then I will be doing something for Saturday Night Main Event. I might do a rate review show. I might finally see what the fuck I have to do on Twitch to get Twitch working. I don't know what I gotta do, but I might do Twitch. I don't know. I'm gonna figure it out. And of course, I will be doing, of course, my top 10 list, my top 10 moments of WWE, of wrestling, my top 10 moments of wrestling so far this year, close out the year, my top 10 wrestlers, and my top 10 wrestling matches. Those are the three last episodes I will be doing for Wrestling Life to close out the year. And I can't wait for that. Until next time, man. I am Brandon Janu. It's been a Brandon Janu show. Peace.